Incorrect brand.
Welcome to the boy.
I actually did say drop Indie Hits podcast once on there. I was like, oops.
Oh shit!
Are you doing another podcast?
Where is
that?
I plugged the Indie Hits podcast on fucking the Game Informer podcast, which gets like actually millions of listeners when I was on.
Honestly, that would explain like the subscriber bump we got, because we got like,
no, this was like last year.
I mean, still, I think the Remo Drive was like the big bump.
Yeah. It was just delayed.
We got all the Twitter thons.
We got the plot nothings.
All right, we all ready to go?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, it's cool how we have cars going by in the window on the video. That's good radio. That's what they call it.
Bad radios.
All right, ready? 3, 2.
Are we all clapping or just you?
Just me.
Okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Hello, and welcome to the Indie Heads podcast, Chicago edition, number 2.0. We are here. We're missing a couple people because they're sleeping right now.
They're probably sleeping.
No, they're definitely sleeping.
Okay, they're sleeping. Anyways.
I will say, when I came by here at first, I like did hear people inside and thought that like might be going on, but
no, it's just the people upstairs. Was it the people fighting?
I don't know. It was on the first floor, so I was really confused.
This is a bad radio segment.
Anyways, hey, what's going on, everybody? We're here to crack open a couple cold Mike's Harder lemonades with the official drink of
Go For It, Hell Yeah, and Why Not?
Yeah. So we have a wonderful cast here. We have some returning members of the original Chicago. Well, you're the original. You're the, like, only, well, original Chicago.
Well, he went out in 2014.
No, they did a 2015. Yeah.
But podcast didn't exist.
Podcast didn't even exist yet.
That's some real indie shit.
Anyway, so.
I was riding the wave.
Anyways, Alex Orange Schmorge on Twitter.
Lil Brexit.
Jonathan Brexit.
Thanks
for married, man.
Thinking bug dick.
I have to start taking myself more seriously and, you know, just using my real name.
AJ Moser, Ann Moser on Twitter.
Yeah.
Jake, Jamaican, well, you're like JWog55 on Twitter.
That is correct.
You're like something trash boy.
Shit-headed boy.
As always, I'm your host, Maddie, at Monorvian Prince, and we have two newbies to Chicago, but not really, because they've both have been on the podcast. Well, you've been like
2 years, too.
Yeah, both 2 years.
Almost 2 years.
Slightly longer, but like, anyways, Lily. At Lily Mikowski on Twitter. And Will. Former Michelle. Can we talk about
that? Is that where we want to start?
Yeah,
I'll tell the story.
So,
a few months back, well, like when I started the brand a few weeks ago, I messaged Mike's Harder on Twitter asking, is it okay for me to be the unofficial ambassador for the brand? So what I've been doing is I've been tagging tweets. I'll send tweets and I'll tag them as Sit By Mike a lot. Apparently they didn't like that.
And you tag MHL in it.
Yeah.
I do
tag them a lot.
So then earlier, there's some pretty vile stuff on your Twitter.
Honestly, I'm not that vile.
I mean, did you send Alex something?
Oh, I did. Oh yeah, I did send my butt. I see the moon, and the moon sees me. That's enough. So today, when I was in the airport for my flight, I popped out a tweet to head to Chicago for some meetings at the MHL corporate headquarters, Mike, because the Mike Carter Lemonade corporate headquarters is in Chicago, so
I thought. Did you know that?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Okay.
That.
Yeah, we looked it up before the.
Yeah, so that was a good guise for me going to Chicago instead of this dumb shit. So then, almost like just a few minutes after I landed, Mike's Harder finally responds to my message several weeks later. Hey there, we love seeing you drinking on the bright side and enjoying Mike so much. The stuff you are posting and dreaming up is awesome. However, we hope you can edit your account name and start sending tweets signed Will in order to come off as more authentic with your feedback. We love for our fans to spread their love of Mike's naturally. Your bio could express your love for us, not that you specifically are Mike.
Just think that, like, someone whose actual job it is to do what you're doing fun was like, this has to stop.
Yeah. No, okay. We would also love to see your profile pic being you with some Mike swag rather than our bottle or logo. Can you send us your shipping information? We'd like to send some of the best Mike swag your way. Cheers. So in effect, that's the...
Boy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What did you just...
I accidentally...
Who did the thing?
Bottle. I was trying to get my charger.
Oh, that wasn't even...
God damn.
No,
that was a glass.
Yeah, that's a glass.
That's a fuck up.
That's a oopsie.
That's a fuck up.
Whose glass was it?
That's
the Airbnb. It's
the Airbnb. What? Right, okay, so we're having some technical difficulties, but we're back now. So...
Sorry about
so, that. So, basically, in effect, I got the nicest cease and desist letter of all time. Like, it took me like two or three, because I was sitting on like the L, so it took me like two or three reads to be like, oh shit, they're actually like trying to like threaten me. So I asked, so my response, hey, thanks for responding to me, and I'm sorry for any complications I might have caused. I'll work on my profile later today. Coincidentally, I just landed in Chicago an hour ago. Is there any way I could swing by the offices tomorrow and pick up the stuff? And then the response, thanks. Unfortunately, we are having a company-wide meeting tomorrow, and our offices are closed to the public. But we plan on sending you some stuff, dope stuff next week. Can you send us your shirt size along with your address? So basically, what happened
was...
Did
you send it?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I'm not going to read that message on here. But
the
point,
address on the radio.
The point being, though, is that the straw that broke the camel's back was I sent that tweet about going to the corporate headquarters for meetings... And they actually are having meetings at the corporate headquarters tomorrow.
As
so,
you do in corporate headquarters. That's like what
but
they're for.
But they said there was like a company-wide meeting and they're closed.
Oh, shit.
So basically they're like, somehow I knew about that, apparently.
Somebody's getting fired for
but
that.
They thought, so they were real creeped out, so.
It was probably like, by the time this meeting happens, like, this needs, whatever, this rampant Twitter.
But okay, the two victories, well, is that obviously they had to talk about me. They like if they're like in a meeting. Like someone,
so there's probably like multiple.
The social media guy had to go up to his boss and like, talk to him about like how to solve this problem.
Like how
it was
for
the problem.
That exists.
Yeah, no, they very much. Now I've had several Twitter interactions. That's one being when they called me up and taking a picture on the toilet. They're like, are you in the toilet in this?
Yeah, I gotta enjoy Mike's heart any time of the day.
Seems like the way they saw this ending was just like you outside the Mike's headquarters, like a pair of binoculars, and then a bottle of Mike's just like slowly sneaks in.
Yeah, my honest end goal was that I was hoping that like I'd become so intrinsically tied to the brand they just had to hire me. That's all like. Because basically what they all told me is that I was making it too confusing. I'm associating myself with the brand so much, so I had to stop.
You should have asked for a job when they messaged.
You should have.
See, the thing is that...
Didn't you just graduate college? Well,
he's playing a long time.
I did graduate. Class of 2017.
Same.
I think we should take a little time and address the elephant not in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the one and only Jeremiah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so...
JeroDweebKing on Twitter.com.
So, okay, can you... Okay, so...
Yeah, so...
You road trip with him.
Explain
the adventures.
We left from New Jersey last night at 8 p.m., ish, roughly.
8 p.m. What city?
Newark, New Jersey.
Newark, New Jersey.
I met them there. And we decided to, like, instead of leaving this morning, because from New York to Chicago is, like, 14 or 13 hours, so instead of driving, like, all day today and getting here, like, we would have gotten here probably not even now when we're recording this, we decided to just drive overnight, no stops, just all the way, and get here into Chicago at, like, 10 or 11 a.m., which was like a fucking mistake. And thank God Jeremiah's girlfriend came with us because we would have certainly died. But the vision that sticks out in my head the most is like waking up at probably like 5 a.m. and we were like stopped at this like kind of truck stop and Jeremiah's just in the zone and he's like, I'm guiding us, like we're fine. I had just gotten us through Ohio. I drove through Ohio.
Oh, bless Ohio.
Yeah, listen, I put, Jeremiah like is like, hey, or I'm like, oh, I'm driving, you know. I'm like, hey, we just made it into Ohio. And Jeremiah like throws on Common as Light and Love, and then he's like, you're welcome, and falls asleep, and he's gone. And I drove till like 4:30 a.m.
Cassio was like telling me, it's like, they're playing that that new Sun Club Moon album is like making me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, I drove through. Okay, here's what happened actually. I drove through the entire state of Ohio, like on our journey. The amount of time it took to get through Ohio was less than half of that album.
Less than half?
Yeah, we were in Ohio for like an hour. It was absurd.
Which part was just like the lower tip or something? Mm-hmm. Okay, because like my,
I think so.
Last year, my non-professional, like, he was like every class I had to talk to him about Ohio because like that has a drive route to get to his like girl, his like in-laws. He's like, it's the worst state.
But yeah, I wake up at like 5 a.m. and we're in this truck stop, and Jeremiah is like, don't worry about it, like I'm gonna get us there safely. And then like the second we pull out, it just starts fucking like apocalyptic rain is coming down in the car. I'm like, I'm in the back seat and I'm looking out like the front window and I cannot see a goddamn thing. And Jeremiah is just in the zone. So I thought we were gonna die multiple times, but it was a rough experience. So Jeremiah is sleeping that off right now, I think. But
yes.
Which like was is that all the elephant in the room was?
What?
Is that all the elephant in the room was?
Yeah, where's Jeremiah? Oh. You know he's here. Yeah. The boy's asleep.
Who
I mean, we gotta grab him. Well, hopefully, okay, fingers crossed he'll come out during the recording of this at some
point. We don't need him.
But we did we not mention, we're all here for Pitchfork Music.
Yeah, where are we?
2017. We are here for that, so sorry, this is my second year. AJ, I mean, this is your second year in a row.
Yeah.
You were 2014?
2014, baby.
Did you skip 2015?
Mm-hmm.
It was because of Wilco.
It was because Wilco and Chancellor Apple were the headliners.
But Slater Kinney's good.
I would have gone for Slater Kinney. Yeah.
Okay. I'm actually wearing my Wilco shirt right now, actually.
Because you did. Because
my Star Wars shirt.
So while AJ was like, "Hey, Maddie, what's the podcast info for the Twitter?" And I'm like, "Okay, hey, give it to him because it's gonna be fun. We'll road trip
it." It was all fun and games.
Mainly because of Japanese breakfast, and you guys are gonna do the soft reaction.
If you haven't checked out our sponsored reaction
to the coveted
she watched it. She gave her seal of approval.
We reviewed that. We did a live unboxing reaction and review to the new.
Did
Japanese
someone send that to her?
Album.
Yeah, she responded.
I think,
no, but did
you read the unboxing? But definitely one of the.
No, but did you send it to her though specifically?
No, it wasn't us.
It was
we're
conspiring that it was Kyle, okay, you'll wish across on the Indiehead subreddit.
But he hates us.
No, he doesn't.
Oh,
he likes me.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
We're seeing him tomorrow.
She retweeted the like 20-minute post album review we did.
Yeah, I know, but she gave you like the hearts and everything.
Yeah.
So
she watched it.
I mean, we're certainly branded.
My sensei noticed me. Y'all's sensei noticed y'all.
We are Japanese breakfast brand ambassadors. We are the number one stands, like, without a doubt. It's crazy that we are just, like, without any question in the world, Jeremiah and I are literally the number one, number two breakfast
stands.
It's both of us as number one and number two, and there's, like, someone else somewhere who's number three, but, like, as a unit, we are number one and number two stand.
You're probably most
and it bounces off each day. Depends.
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, most of it, if Jiro's in the mood.
Yeah. I mean, the album is great, and it's out, like, now.
Yeah, it's out
literally right now.
But, yeah. It's on like, iTunes and Apple Music now, but by the time we get done, like, doing this.
Is it, like,
even before, like, after we've done this, it'll be up on Spotify. Or really, before, when this goes up, it'll definitely be up. So, go listen to Soft Sounds. We'll probably have an official discussion after, like, maybe a week after we all get back.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, we got it.
Yeah.
And also, Michelle, she's doing an AMA on IndieHeads that I helped set up, r/IndieHeads.
Sick brag.
Make sure you put your questions in on Monday. So, Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
So, 12 Central. Noon Central.
Yeah, but she's in, like, New York, so yeah.
10 Pacific time. 10 a.m.
I'm the smallest bit salty that there's a free album release show on Saturday in New York, and I'm here, but whatever.
Hey,
you know,
here with your boys.
Speaking of which, you know what we're going to be seeing while that show's going on?
Mitski?
A motherfucking Tribe Called Quest.
Oh,
West.
Tribe Called Quest, yeah.
Let's actually talk about, because Jeremiah is not here to ruin everything, let's actually talk about the festival.
I think this episode, if I can throw a prediction out, this episode's going to end the exact same way with Jeremiah.
Well, I think we should
taking
all
a fight off
in the nude, yeah. We were recording our podcast last year.
Bud Light.
And then Jeremiah just like walked off. And like right at the very end, I think like the last thing that's on camera in that thing is I'm like, Jeremiah's naked and like taking shit and staring at me. It's like the very last thing.
And you were like screeching.
Yeah.
And then we ended up, okay, but Friday, let's start with tomorrow.
Yeah, let's talk about our top, our most anticipated act of the day.
Do we anticipate act of the day, or do we just want to go by day by day?
Yeah, let's start Friday.
So Friday, Lily and I are for sure, we're camping on Great Stays. We got Priest at 145, Vince Staples after, Danny Brown, LCD, an increasing amount of chances for a heart attack during any of their sets.
Those are all Green Stage?
Yeah, all Green Stage.
Yeah, I'm going to be camping Green Stage set. I'm going to be checking out the man's Thurston Moore band.
Are they on blue or red?
They're on, I think, red.
Wait, did Jeff Rome stop Saturday?
He's like the second act on Saturday. I think he's like 145.
Red Stage on Saturday?
Yeah, red.
Yeah, I think there's someone else technically going before him, but it's like...
I think it's Kilo Kish, but
who cares? Besides Vince Staples, who gives a single fuck?
Who cares? But everyone else, your Friday plans that we didn't. I mean, okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said, I'm going to be doing basically that same plan, except I'm going to be sneaking in Thurston Moore in there because I'm a big Sonic.
Red's like
guy.
Close enough though. Like you can watch Red from the Green Stage. So.
Yeah, because that's
seriously.
That's how I'm watching Dirty Projectors. Is like I'm interested to see what Dirty Projectors does, but like I'm not like I need to get up front. Like no.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Dave Longstreth's shitty facial hair up close. I don't need to do that. I was discussing this on Indie Heads.
Takes one to know one.
About his album.
Right.
The self-titled, I made a joke on the subreddit. It's basically Volnicura with a liberal arts degree.
I
like the album, I do, but like, there are certain moments where I'm like, oh my god, Dave Longstreth, you're just like a simply an insufferable human being.
Just male privilege Volnicura is what
yeah.
that
yeah,
album
pretty
is.
Much,
yeah,
pretty much.
It's a bummer we have to miss Arca, because I like
watch
this. Yeah, I know.
I
want
to see someone fix their own ass. On stage for sure. Like there's always one just like weird set at Pitchfork, and like last year it was
Jenny Ball.
Jenny Ball set was so fucking strange.
Were you there?
Yeah, with the clowns and everything.
Jenny Ball was at Pitchfork.
Yeah, you watched it. That was one of your favorite sets. Like,
no, you were gone because you were sick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
One bitch
yeah.
class.
Yep. She was on like Saturday afternoon, and I think we were waiting for like Empress of or something.
No. Jenny Ball was like Friday. Because I remember Empress of on Sunday? Yeah, Empress of was on Sunday, because it was like Nao before her, and then this band like Home, I think it was like a local band, that's
Nao,
pretty decent.
Nao,
and then like Sun Ra, I think, was before...
No,
yeah, that's
Sun Ra.
Yeah. That's the sole reason I like the hook.
Yeah.
But yeah, Friday...
But like, yeah, we have to miss Arca because of LCD.
I'm so
mad. Which is...
Cause we were talking about that when we were... Because
literally, but
yeah,
honestly, is anyone going to be at that set?
Yeah, we were.
There's
yeah.
going to be like 10 people.
I know people who are skipping, because, by the way,
I guess not really former, basically like Missing in Action podcast member Arthi, for all you old heads out there.
True heads.
Wait,
oh,
true
that's
heads.
Right.
Because
her boyfriend, right?
Yeah, her boyfriend is skipping LCD for Arca.
Well, honestly,
like,
I'm probably
I
like...
I want to do that, but it's like, I can't.
It's amazing that that's like the only killer like schedule conflict this weekend, and yet it's not even a conflict. Like, I've been relentlessly standing Arca for the last 6 months, and that's not a conflict.
Like, yeah, because like last year was
LCD
horrible
for
conflicts.
I heard that when you guys were playing.
Because Brian Wilson conflicted with Anderson Paak, and Anderson Paak kind of conflicted
with
Sufjan.
Right.
And I was like, because I didn't really get a great, I mean, Sufjan Stevens, that concert, greatest concert I've ever been to, but I wish I got a better spot because I couldn't push in far enough. Because I had to like run, like, because after Brian Wilson got done playing Pet Sounds, I ran for Sufjan.
See, that's what I'm going to be doing between Nicholas Yar and Solange.
I don't think we're
going to Jeff Rose's stuff. So we might.
Well, no, Nicholas Yar's set is like literally exactly the same time as American Football, also.
Oh yeah, you're going to
start at
7:25. I'm going Nicholas Jar.
Yeah, I'm going Nicholas.
Okay, yeah, let's take a poll. American Football, raise your hand.
Emo
Nicholas
boys
Jar,
in the
raise
house,
your
hand.
Yeah. I'm just betraying all the emo bands this weekend.
I'm
waiting
for Solange.
Hey, no, good man.
But I thought you said you want to see American Football.
I really want to see them perform, honestly, but otherwise...
You're going to get spot for Solange.
Like, that's the only song you want to hear?
Because apparently, like, Solange is...
Obviously, I love the debut, like, as much as anybody, but...
I actually saw them earlier this year. They might... on April Fool's Day.
I'm really excited to hear them play some songs from the second album, which is not bad and is in fact a good album.
Oh boy. But yeah, I mean, so I don't blame it, because Solange, apparently, like, her stage step is, like, fucking incredible.
See, when everyone wrote her off as a headliner, that's why I was so shocked. I was like, have you seen her TV performances? Like, that's going to be an insane, like, choreographed, intricate staging, live instrumentation,
the thing is,
like, soul.
So,
yeah,
the thing is,
I,
so was FKA Twigs.
Yeah,
that's
the same thing
as
FKA Twigs.
But, like, FKA Twigs, all her TV performances was just her in elaborate staging. There was no, like, real, like, musical performance behind it.
There's a lot of
that. It was just back in tracks.
Yeah, I really like the FKA Twigs performance.
Didn't she do a lot of
no,
new music last year and
yeah,
still have nothing out
yeah,
yet? Yeah.
Yeah, it was like,
oh, interesting.
Like,
and like, it was funny because,
I mean, they kind of came out for the Nike commercial that she did, but like, no CD quality, no like official Spotify stuff.
It was
yeah,
like
no,
her
weird.
Set and One Hit Tricks Point Never Worth
I know, here's
time.
The thing. So
and, like,
I was like,
did
maybe
a bunch of stuff for like
yeah.
whatever her new project is supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
And like, that sounds crazy. That sounds good.
Yeah. Because I was like a third of the way through the FKA Twigs set, and I just like, I think, like, I'm ready to admit now, it was, like, it was my ex-girlfriend, like, I was just thinking of my ex-girlfriend, because, like, okay, let me explain, I, like, the first, like, I got, like, my ex-girlfriend, like, I got her LP1 on vinyl for Christmas, and, like, I have, like, a weird, like, association, where I thought I got past it, but then I saw Page Twigs, and I was like, oh, I don't think this is, like, the correct venue, I gotta get out of here, and then I went to One on Tricks Point Never, I had a great time, I felt uncomfortable in the best ways possible, so, shouts out.
The thing I feel that would make FKA Twigs different is that, like, Twigs' music is very, like, ethereal and airy, and that wouldn't translate well to, like, festival setting.
Yeah, that was another thing. It was just, like, this doesn't feel... Like, if I saw this in, like, a theater...
I feel like Solange is really instrumentally robust, though. Like, that's going to be a killer, just, like, actual live performance,
yeah.
I think.
Like, what the videos I've seen of her setup and, like, just what she does, like... Even though it's going to be, like, a little weird that it's not just in a theater, I still really want to see it.
It looks like she's been doing amazing headlining European festivals and shit.
Yeah.
She's coming to this
Europe.
Festival off the back of, like, Glastonbury and Moscow and stuff, so she's been
Absolutely.
Doing really well with this.
Don't break anything like me.
Yeah, okay, so let's go on to Saturday.
So, we need to talk
Saturday.
What do we need to talk about? LCD Sound System.
I will say, I'm probably the least, because
it's like, here's the thing, because we were discussing this while we were getting, Portillo's.
Shout out to the dogs.
Shouts out to the dogs. So
no
we're flying this
dog
because you're like, because you know me, and you know that I've been standing Arco like hard this year.
Yeah, me too.
Because I've been standing him hard because he needs to be standing hard. He needs to get, he needs the support.
He needs to drop a cohesive project one of these days.
Okay.
Oh, he did.
That's consistently
right.
Good all the way through.
Almost. I think Arco is his best work yet, but still it's like, so close to being great. So
I think
people
really
underrated
Mutant. That album is growing on me so much.
It's not as good
as
Mutant, but it's very, very close.
The singing song is the best song he's ever done. That?
Yeah.
We agree? Okay.
Save for the title track on Mutant. That's like the single best thing he's done.
Which one was that one?
Is the second one?
Okay, yeah, that's a good track.
Like the 7-minute one?
Oh, yeah, that's a great track.
But LCD Sound System.
Anyways, LCD Sound System. And I was saying, it was like, here's the thing. While I stand hard for Arca, I was telling LJ. I was telling AJ, it was like,
CJ.
LJA Sound System.
I was telling him, I was just like, well, I don't have to support LCD that hard because it's like, they're LCD. They don't need my standing. They already have it.
But
so,
be like,
yeah, can you make sure that's like recording like my, it should be recording to my hard drive.
It says your startup disk is almost full.
See,
yeah.
Well, that doesn't really matter, I think.
It depends. We'll see.
Can I just hit
it's
okay?
Yeah, it's still okay. It's still recording.
Show must go on.
If it stops, then, like, I think...
Well, we still have the audio. Like, we can just do this as an audio podcast.
Yeah,
we
can just switch,
we can just
switch over to the iPhone if we kind of figure out that it's
that's true.
Because that was my initial plan, that I wanted to use the iPhone. But you guys were like, no. I didn't
look,
like
we gotta be
last...
brand agnostic. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway,
back to LCD.
So, do you guys think they're gonna play more new songs rather than like?
Probably not.
No, because there's a festival and it's gonna be live streams.
Yeah, they're not gonna do.
Watch Pitchfork Music Festival.
They're gonna do the two singles.
Yeah,
and that'll be it. I think.
I'm down with
songs.
That. I like it.
I hope they play Home because I was saying earlier that when
yeah.
I saw them in Brooklyn
I know
last month, they did not play Home.
Oh.
That's my second favorite LCD sound system.
That's probably my
favorite. What is your first favorite?
All My Friends. It's the greatest song of all time.
Mama, okay. Dance Yourself Clean.
Honestly, Home
they
is
do. They do their closing. At least when I saw them in Brooklyn, their closing set is like they do New York, I Love You. They like walk off stage, then they come back and they do Dance Yourself Clean.
See, I wish. I wish they just opened.
I hope they do tomorrow. I hope they open with Dance Yourself Clean tomorrow because that's like more festival.
What do they open with?
I feel like they opened with Begin Innocuous.
They
open like a perfect opening track.
My thing is, my thing is LCD.
Okay, we still got the audio.
Do we want to stop the audio and then switch to iPhone?
Oh, sure.
We'll just do a little like.
Yeah, we had technical difficulties, aka my laptop ran out of space, so we're switching. We were talking about what was your Sufjan
Stevens?
LCD sound system.
Okay, well, Sufjan Hot Take or LCD? Vote now.
How cliche fucking shit is it that we're talking about? Like, you're talking about LCD sound system with technical difficulty. Yeah. By the time we got back,
we're talking about Sufjan Stevens. We can't go like 5 minutes in this house without just being like, so Sufjan Stevens.
5 minutes is gonna be a lot of credit. All
right.
Right, it's actually like instantly.
Yeah. Lily, present your hot take.
I'm not even gonna say it's a hot take. I don't respect my own take that much, Holocaust. I'm just gonna say my favorite like single Sufjan track is Concerning UFO Sighting. I think that's just like all of his perfection distilled into just like this amazing like 2 minute slice. Like everything you get from his music, you get in that, and that's all I need from him.
That's a respectable take, but I was gonna say like the thing with Illinois is that it has three intros pretty much, and they all go back to back because each of those three songs they each could be a good intro.
Well,
for the album.
No, the second one, the
concerning
the Black Hawk War is the
Black
transition.
War. Yeah, those are basically the same. Song.
This is a hot take.
Black Hawk War is kind of a momentum killer coming out of Concerning the UFO Sighting.
That is just like a left turn. That is a horrendous take.
But then it comes right back in with Come On to Illinois.
Yeah, your first one was a decent take. The second one.
I got a hot take. Illinois is a good album.
Speaking of good albums.
I'll toast to that, brother.
Speaking of good albums, LCD Sound System. Let's get back to LCD Sound System.
Fine, they've made a good album.
They made three, yes. You're right.
I'll give them credit. They made one.
Which one?
Sound of Silver.
That's not even my favorite.
It's called Everyone. Opinions are all like assholes. Everyone's got them.
Okay, LCD. They get an extra
20 minutes, which is pitchforks wild for that one. I think, like, it's so obvious that they funneled a lot of money into their headliners this year because, like, Pitchfork has always been. They set the as a festival. It's always been like they set their own rules. Like last year was like Beach House. Okay, they put out like two records last year in 2016.
And
then
like,
in 2016 they put out two records last year, is what I was saying. But Sufjan Stevens, like, sure, whatever. That set was wild. And he was headlining like Coachella and Wild.
He was pre-headliner. He was like a sub-headliner.
Oh, that's right, yeah. But his Coachella set was like the
best. That was the best thing I've ever seen.
I remember watching that live and being like, if he doesn't do that like identically at Pitchfork, I'm going to be disappointed.
And but he basically
did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like his festival version of like the Carrie and Lowell
live set.
He
didn't
smash
the fucking banjo.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He did smash the banjo.
Yeah,
like,
no,
during certain
songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like they've always played by their own rule book as far as headliners go, except this year they were just like, no.
We're going all out.
We're balling out. They have like
Shoddy like the way that
ball out. They like funneled a lot of the Condé Nast money into getting LCD Sound System, Tribe Called Quest, Solange as like headliners.
And it worked because they sold out 3 day passes.
And
this year.
I think let's transition from that from LCD to Tribe Called Quest. This is their first first show of this era.
Yeah.
First full show. Everything else has been a television performance.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a short one or two songs.
Okay.
This is their first like full concert.
I wonder what they're gonna bring up.
I'm expecting Busta Rhymes. I wouldn't be surprised if Anderson .Paak came out.
Not at all.
Is
any of the rappers there like featured on the album?
No, the only other hip hop acts are Danny Brown and Vince Staples.
Well, I'm like they have
no.
Joey Perp and Isaiah Rashad.
Yeah, and that's the thing, which I actually want to see Joey Perp because I like Eye Drops. That's a solid tape.
That's
like,
the that might be the worst best new music ever awarded.
Did you forget about Vagabond, AJ?
Vagabond's great. I love Vagabond.
I didn't listen to Vagabond. I just know Fantasia
like,
he calls it boring.
The thing is that I'm the guy like I think most hip hop nowadays is boring, especially from like. Jazzy Chicago scene. I'm trying to be intellectual, but also not. But like, I like that tape. So for whatever it is worth.
But yeah, like none of the hip hop acts at Pitchfork are like actually on the Tribe album. Okay. But like it's fucking Chuck Bell Quest, and if they were
yeah.
like, yo, you want to like come out?
I am the most excited. That's my hot take is that this is the head I'm most excited for, just because it's the first set.
It's the most like unpredictable.
Well,
set.
Is that,
yeah.
Like, did you see that Grammy performance?
Yeah, like
that
that's
was
what
most
I'm saying.
The kind of shit
so,
I've ever seen in my entire
yeah,
life.
Busta Rhymes is like 100% just like a touring member of a Tribe Called Quest, and like basically Fife Dawg's replacement.
Yeah,
Busta Rhymes,
and
like,
I am perfect.
But like, they will play it off as a surprise. Like, it will be the three of them come out, and then they'll be like,
"Yeah,
oh, and like
Busta
also Busta Rhymes here." We'll be like, "Well, I had no it's fucking a, idea that was coming."
You said three of them. Ali Shaheed Muhammad, he did not get enough credit for that production on that new album.
No, he really didn't. Like, that album is good as
he.
Good
he
as
they. I was listening to that last week. They did that.
Mm-hmm.
They did that. I remember hearing like right after he died, I heard like a rumor, like LA. Were you saying that they might have been an album? Like, that sounds like the worst idea of all time.
Yeah, remember when we were like, this album is not going to be good. Like, it tried
no, then
and
they
the
officially announced it and like, no
so,
way.
The cover art sucks. I think the title also sucks.
It's like, well, they
Fife
Dawg
named it. Yeah, Fife Dawg named it.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit if Fife Dawg named
it. It was a bad name.
Disrespecting a dead man.
Dead?
I've disrespected a lot
ideas.
Of
ideas.
Oh, God. But, yeah. So,
yeah
I mean, Saturday, like, I think Saturday is the best. Probably the best, like...
I think Saturday is the best one during the day, like, leading up to that.
No, okay, so those are my top three most anticipated acts. Jeff Rosenstock, Mitski, and Tribe Called Quest. That's my...
Sunday's the most loaded for me, but it's not the whole day. It's
mm-hmm.
just, like, the rapid-fire...
It's just Pine Grove.
...climax
yeah.
of the day.
Pine Grove
starts,
yeah,
it's just
avalanches into American football.
We're gonna be booling together.
Yeah, we're gonna be booling hard for that. But, like, yeah, I definitely am looking forward to Jeff Rosenstock...
We're going to the damn
after
show.
I was
going
to say, is anyone going to the after show?
Maddie and I are.
Yeah. Which I'm surprised you didn't get tickets, or you didn't get tickets. I mean, you
well,
already saw
him. I already saw him.
Yeah.
I actually barely listened to him since, like I was listening to him.
I was telling, actually, Maddie and I were talking about this earlier. I was looking at some of, like, his set lists, and I'm surprised he doesn't just play, like, the medley from the
well,
band.
Well, he does, but he, like, starts with the, what song does he start with?
Hellhole?
No.
Yeah, that's what he starts with. He plays from Hellhole on.
Honestly,
usually.
I was listening to the back half of Warrior today, and I kind of wish he started with Bang on the Door.
That's
yeah,
like, that's where I always start.
Bang,
yeah.
That's for me, that's where the metal starts.
Yeah, that's, I yeah, always...
But honestly, Blast Damage Days honestly could...
Oh, you know what, I actually think it starts with To Be a Ghost. That's where I always start that album. Like, if I'm going to play that album back, I just start with To Be a Ghost.
I listened to it front to back today on
the
way to
the
airport.
Thing.
And, like,
here's the
I
thing.
I kind of want Rude to Explode as, like, an opener for that
yeah,
set.
Yeah,
it's just a perfect opener.
He opened that when I saw him.
I still don't like Festival Song. Never have.
That is your worst.
Buddy, that's not a good take.
Which
that's
one is that? Is that the second song?
It's the third
yeah.
song.
Whoa,
song. So good. I feel like that song
got
is the most like
the
nerds
and
bummer music
I listened to
song on that album.
Cool last year because like it was advertised something I might like, and I was like, it's okay.
Yeah.
That hurt Festival Song, like
he also does at least
like decide to stand forever.
At least going off of his old set list, he plays a lot of Be Cool stuff.
No, he does. I mean,
yeah.
Like, no, I've grown to love that album. Like,
and
that's all you gotta do.
Yeah,
because I listened to the I think. I listened to Wave Connect to Me, and I was like, oh man. And I listened to Be Cool, I was like, damn, this is fucking good. So
remember when I didn't like Worry?
For like 2 weeks.
For like 2 weeks, I was like, this album's not good.
I
was like, this album's fucking
yeah,
good.
No,
I
yeah.
was like cool on Worry for the first 2 weeks, too. I was like, I'm not sure.
No.
Then, like,
from the first
like,
listen, I thought it was awesome. The second listen, I'm like, this is my top five.
Yeah.
This like it took two listens to realize this is the top five album of the year.
That took
was,
a bit like to grow for me only because I'm such like a staunch like vacation stan that I wasn't quite ready to
see,
of that,
this winter I was really into vacation.
Vacation's so good.
I'm
hoping he plays a couple vacations.
He does not play any golf in this game.
Shit. Oh, I want to hear Campaign for a Better Weekend.
I love that. Dude, no, actually, what's the Vocal Coach? I think that might be my favorite song on that album.
Vocal Coach.
This is like this is so happy. This is so happy.
I would have gotten you a ticket to the after show, Willie.
Oh, but Solange, then.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because Matt and I are dipping early to go to Jeffro.
Because
I can't dip
on
Solange.
I'm
going
to watch it. Like,
I didn't
much
really,
as
I mean,
can.
I listened to her, and I'm like, I will say, I gave it a one listen. I gave it only one listen, and I was like, eh.
I didn't go back to it. I'm going to try to go back to it before Sunday.
And the only songs I remember are Cranes in the Sky, yeah, obviously, which goes, which I hope is, like, one of the songs we can hear. And then, like, the one with Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne's on that album, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's, like, mm-hmm. Lil Wayne's best verse of years.
It is. It's actually very, like, thought
Smuckers.
No.
This is, like, Wayne being completely on
Tyler.
Point and point.
The target creator in 2017.
Imagine.
Couldn't be me.
I do like the album title, I will say. I think
Let's
I'm the only
fuck Flower Boy.
I like it.
Yeah, that's horrible. That is horrible.
I don't really like anything about
that's
that
better.
Album.
It's a better album title than Cherry Bomb.
No,
oh, God.
No,
your asses,
yeah.
I'm gonna barf up Mike's carnival when
he's
talking about Cherry Bomb.
What if I'm in this, but bad.
Didn't you like that album at first?
I was like, oh, this is okay, and then with more listens, I hate this. This is bad.
Oh, Cherry Bomb?
It's so many flaws. It's like, I was talking about it the other day with some friends, and it was just, it's such a bad album on so many levels. It's bad because, for some reason, Tower's like, I'm gonna do, like, this lo-fi production. It's like, basically, he did this lo-fi production to cover up, like, his bad songwriting. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? So you have that, and then, like, the subject matter, I'm still kind of uncomfy about it, because it's basically, like, remember Tyga and Kylie Jenner? What?
You just cracked it open twice.
It was like two cracks. Two cracks.
Two cracks. Everybody knows the rules.
Crack up.
But yeah, subject matter wise, it was kind of uncomfy because it was basically like, I'm Tyler the Creator, and what if I did the storyline of like Kylie Jenner and Tyga, but like, people won't hate me for it.
Oh, because the lead single was like,
fucking young. It's about like,
fucking
young.
I couldn't listen to that album after the first single.
I can't date a 17 year old girl. She's too young for me. And then like the end of the album is like, oh fuck, I'm going to date this
girl.
I
want to date this 17 year old. It's a very
can
like.
Can we talk about Kylie Jenner for a minute?
No,
yes.
We can't.
Okay, things again.
Yo, look.
Her entire life has been like.
Here's what we're gonna talk about for Kylie Jenner. When I see Arcade Fire, I'm going to buy their like off-brand Kylie Jenner shirt, and I do not.
It goes
give
to
a
charity
fuck.
Too.
Yeah, I do not give a fuck. I'm going to buy.
Okay,
think about
her. It's like she changed her entire physical appearance, and like no one talks. Like I mean, she looks so big.
She got big titties now.
I mean, we talk about. I mean, it's talked about.
Nobody
like,
talks about it. It's
but
like,
it's been like implemental. Because at first, like, oh, it's the lips, and then like, oh, look, does she get a boob?
Literally
like,
everything
oh,
about her face doesn't look like her old face.
She's
like,
not
very.
Caitlyn Jenner looks
know,
more like she's changed less.
I'm very proud that I don't know the like whole Jenner family dynamic. I don't know where Kylie Jenner came from. I don't know whose child she was.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's the one with the Jenner.
Yeah, right. But like, I'm not like, I don't care. I don't know any about. I don't want to.
But then, like, it's like
anyways, Pitchfork Music Festival.
Yeah, she's responsible
so
for
the Tribe Called Quest to be emoji.
I mean,
okay,
most
well,
most
well,
most,
about
most,
you,
most anticipated set of the weekend for me is Pine Grove, bar none. They're number one.
Pine Grove is
my
top.
My number one
because I got the Pine Grove late. I'm a fucking idiot and I got into it a little too late.
I listened to Cardinal once before coming here, so I'm not going to appreciate that set at all. I will say Half Wave is awesome.
Yeah.
I got so
but
into
like,
her last.
This
month.
Is going to be the. So like, they're on Blue Stage on Sunday. This is going to.
She's part of like Mitski now right now. Half Wave is so. She,
yeah.
I mean, Nandy might not be there.
No, because Mitski's.
No, because they're
oh,
on the
yeah.
way.
Never mind.
What
okay.
they did is they went from like
and they were recording. So
okay,
like,
yeah, I
not
forgot.
Doing anything, but
they went from halfway from New York to LA with Land of Talk, and then they cut across the country, and then they're meeting up with Pine Grove for this set.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think she's gonna be there.
This is like the moment. This is the Kendrick plays Blue Stage in 2012 moment, or Chance plays Blue Stage in like I think he played like 2013. Like
this is absolutely not the same as those.
It is the next time. The next time Pine Grove plays Pitchfork Music Festival, they will be headlining because they will literally be. Biggest act in indie rock music because they are the best act in indie rock music right now.
See, I respect that take, but I
yes, we are.
I respect, but also like this is not true.
Pine Grove are about to be like,
they are not.
The biggest
they,
shit.
They will never be headliner.
They are about to be the biggest shit. I am telling you this.
They're blowing up. They're not going to blow up to headliners.
No, in 5 years' time. So if you're 5 years. Come at me for this.
Yeah, what's wrong with
in
your life?
In five years, Pine Grove's gonna win a Grammy. I give them 5 years. They're gonna win a Grammy.
Nah.
I can support this take, dude. Fucking Bon Iver won a Grammy.
I'm saying they're not the same.
Because I think
they're gonna win the best new artist.
They're gonna
for
be,
sure.
They're gonna get with Run for Cover for probably another record, mm-hmm. and they're gonna sign to a bigger label, and that label's gonna give them a boost, and they can probably get a Grammy out of it. And it's gonna be awesome.
If Chance the Rapper can win what was it, Best New Artist for fucking coloring books? Pine Grove will win the Best New
did
Artist.
Did he win Best New Artist?
Yes, he did, didn't he?
I don't remember, probably.
He did.
Oh yeah, he did. He gave a really Jesus-y speech.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Way's Blood.
Oh,
Way's
yeah.
Way's Blood is top five in the first place. You fucker. You fucker. You shut up. But yeah, Way's Blood. Front Row Seat to Earth was one of the best albums of 2016. I need to write it for an indie head to go read it. But I love that album so much. Because I have to like run from Jeff to Way's Blood. Because
yeah.
It's like, as soon as his set ends, or like once it kind of, I feel like it's going to wrap up, I'm going to run the Way's Blood. I got to be like close to that one.
See, that's how I think Saturday Afternoon is my favorite stretch. It's like Jeff, Way's Blood, Angel Olsen, Mitski, Tribe Called Quest.
I think it's Mitski after.
After Angel Olsen?
Is anyone else going to Cherry Blazer besides me?
No.
I don't think so.
You're going to go to that set of Way's Blood?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Kyle
/ Lush was telling me like he saw her when I think she then they brought or saw them a lot better. She apparently was on she was topless at some point.
Oh hell yeah.
Of course not.
No, for real?
Yeah. Like I don't and then she also like I was
trying Wait, blood, I sleep. Cherry Blazer girls topless.
Real shit. Cause I know she did that in New York.
I was planning to go to the Thermostat.
She did that in New York too, cause like I was trying to find. I found like a Flickr album, and it was like, oh, there they are. Okay, yeah. Cool. But it's not enough, cause Way's Blood.
Pitchfork Music Festival 2017. We tried.
If titties aren't good enough for him, then you know.
Wait, I'm a changed man. All right, I care about music.
His stannery is too strong.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think
the only thing that can defeat Maddie's thirst is his just. Unsubstantial stannery.
Exactly.
Those are too big and too like post present.
I have two moves. Thirst and stand.
Way's Blood, I think yeah, Mitski's after. I think after Mitski, I think there's enough time for
Mitski.
I saw Angel Olsen back in September, so I don't really need to be like.
So Mitski also. Something people don't talk about enough is that Mitski is scheduled at the same time as George Clinton and the Funkadelic. Which is like, that set's fucking legendary.
No,
why would you put that?
Wait.
Yeah, they both start.
I thought they were on Sunday. George Clinton's on Sunday.
No,
it's Saturday. They can flirt with a bunch of
George
things.
George Clinton's at 4:15. Which is the same thing they did for Sun Ra last year. I forget who they scheduled Sun Ra crossing over with, but I was like, yo,
Sun Ra was
an
opener. Sun Ra was like opening Blue Stage.
Saturday they shafted Mad Lib and Mel.
I think they're
girl
band.
No, it was different, but like. Because I was like, that set will be, like, just legendary to witness. And I caught, like, 10 minutes of it, and it was cool. I think it was fucking Kamasi Washington, actually.
Oh, shit.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Which is dumb shit. Why would you schedule your two big jazz acts at the same
time? Yeah, I think, it's the
same fucking time.
Mitski's my number two act of the weekend. PBDQ was, obviously, on that album, but it was my depression album, The Winter.
I saw Mitski last year, and not that great live, unfortunately.
I think
so,
she's gotten better. I've heard better things.
Okay.
Lately.
Yeah.
So, I think it'll be a cathartic experience just because it was my.
Also, Japanese Breakfast opened for Mitski, so I think I like wasted all of my endorphins on the Japanese Breakfast.
That happened at Alex G2.
No, the Alex G set was actually super good.
Alex G was.
That set was incredible.
Honestly,
yeah.
I wasn't that big a fan of his set.
I honestly
it was super impressive.
Like, there are a few songs that, like, made me go, like,
Pitchfork was filming it when I was there, and he played, like, 30 songs, so.
No, yeah, because he did, like, a bunch of requests.
They played a Randy Newman cover 3 times in a row.
Yeah, because he was changing his string.
Yeah, it was absolutely wild.
Because he broke his string, and then he changed
his string. My favorite thing about that was that they played Life is a Highway.
Yeah.
Before and after.
You want me to take it?
Show.
Sure.
I'm going to take a look at that after, but yeah, that was wild. But.
No, the Alex G set I thought was really good. And like, that's another act I guess I'm surprised it's not here this year. I figured.
I think because he just got off like a headlining tour.
That's true. But like, yeah, also. Like,
you'll be there next year. You'll be there next year for sure.
And like, Future Islands, I also figured would have been here this year.
Well, those are just like two.
They're
probably
a little too big to be not
headliners.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Future
Islands also played in 2015.
Yeah, Future Islands, if at this point, they'd probably be asking for, like, sub-headliner or headliner, and they... Yeah.
I mean, they deserve it.
They do. I mean, yeah, they put on a set that deserves headliner status. But, like...
I haven't seen them yet, and I'm bummed. Yeah.
They're great. I saw them live, like, last month. They were great.
I think something interesting about the lineup this year is it's not so much like them curating their up and comers like it has been in the past years. Like it's a little more, I don't know, it's not like shit that has been directly
What are Pitchfork's like pet bands right now?
Pine Grove definitely won, I would say.
They're going to get Pine Grove Best New Music because they fucked up.
Oh, well, you know what? Actually, it's two acts that I think, like, none of us here give a fuck about are the big, like, Pitchfork push ones. And that's, like, Survive and, oh, holy shit, who is it?
Does anyone
get Survive is just their content pick because they get
Oh, Francis and the Lights? Didn't they pan the shit out of that
album?
They did.
Yeah,
like,
never mind. But, like, they were on that, before that album came out, they were, like, on the Francis and the Lights. Like, it was literally, like, Francis and the Lights, like, tweeted, and Pitchfork was like, here's a news story about Francis and the Lights, like, tweeting. But, like, I'm surprised they even invited them because they pinned the fuck out of that album.
Yeah,
but
so.
that's where the Chance the Rapper appearance might be.
Well, here's the thing.
They booked
their acts, like, I read an interview, like, on the train today, and they booked their acts, like, they start in, like, August, they start booking stuff. Sure. So probably they booked them before, and then, you know, his album came out, and they're like,
oh, it sucks.
Well, we can't stop this now.
The album suck.
So actually, like, that's what people talking about last year. Saw that they booked Carson Harris for, like, the opening gig on Friday.
Well, we were talking about that today. Where it was like, why was that, like, the very first act on Friday? It's because, like, nobody.
Because they booked him last August.
But no, it was
before Teens of Style.
Yeah, before Teens of fucking Style.
Actually, that would be kind of nice if they had the first act be kind of a bigger one.
Yeah.
It's who is it this year? Like the very first.
I mean, they usually give it to, like, a band, like a newish band, like, at best, because they're doing that with Priest this year. Because Priest is, like, kind of like, what?
Is the very first band this year Priest?
No,
Priest are the second band, but they're the first band on Green Stage.
There's the first band. There's one band I want for.
Was Carson Harris on Green Stage last year?
No, Carson was Red Stage.
It was Red. Oh, sorry, the very first set of the festival.
Yeah, guys,
like,
they broke up before Kings of Style.
It was an almost peak.
Literally,
like,
who
not,
gives a fuck in August of 2015 about fucking Carson Harris?
Alex, did I tell you that there was a girl on Tinder that I matched with who liked Carson Harris, and I found a GIF of me and you and maybe Jake, like, in the crowd. And I sent it to her, and she was like,
really?
I told her, I'm like, yeah, I found a GIF of myself, like, in the crowd for Carson Harris. And she's like, wait, what? And I sent,
like,
it to her.
From the recording?
I've never been able to find myself in those videos.
I can find myself, but it's one specific moment where it's the very moment the pit starts and I just get thrown out. You can see my curls just sail out of the frame.
Did you follow up with, oh, hey, we seem to have a couple things in common?
God!
Does Carson Harris be around?
We got to chat a bit more and get to know each other. Was that the second one? Check out twitter.com for that good content.
How's the site still free?
Yeah, I should get a better angle on this.
Okay, I was gonna say, I passed it to you because I needed my face.
I passed the blunt.
Yeah, I think as far as the Indie Heads podcast goes, like, our approve acts and then just, like, don't give a fuck act, like, because there's a lot of acts that I think we collectively. Like, don't give a fuck.
I've heard of Survive, but I don't know any.
They're the Stranger Things soundtrack band.
Yeah, that's why it's like such an on-brand
and they,
Pitchfork. Because they, like, same with Stranger Things. They're like, oh, the Stranger Kids did something.
Yep, here, like, boom, here it is. They did the Goose Island.
No, it sucks. I got that Ben Wolfhard kid. He seems like a fucking.
He was
awesome.
In a fucking pup video.
He's just fucking awesome.
Yeah, he was in a
pup video. But just because of the way that things are, it's like.
Shouts out to Finn Wolfhard. He did, like, his band, they did a cover of Twin Peaks the band, not Twin Peaks the show.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of Twin Peaks, we gotta do another spoiler cast.
We do?
Yeah, because we were like, okay, we're gonna do it, like, after episode 8. Which, of course, episode 8 was the
Purple Moon got me fucked up.
I won't spoil it. I'm not spoiling it.
I don't care.
It's
you actually can't spoil the new season of Twin Peaks because like nothing happens, but it's also just all literally nothing happens.
It's an
18-hour execution. Yeah,
it's we just got past basically the first acts of the Twin Peaks.
But for Pitchfork, there's a bunch of like R&B acts that I just don't think like any of us actually give a fuck.
I don't understand why they're interested in seeing
because I remember like that dude
Money
album being. Like,
I've seen
Pitchfork
of her, she's attractive, but as far as like actual.
Well, there's like his Golden Messenger.
No.
Who gives a fuck? The Kamaya.
Kilo Quiche. I know Kilo Quiche because she was like associated with Odd Future back then.
She was on Acid Rap.
Vince Staples.
She's got the Vince Staples connection. She'll probably come out for Vince Staples. You Love to Be. Which Love Can Be, that's the best song on the new album.
That is not true because Backpack.
He's a liar.
Back.
I want you to zoom in on this liar Wilfred Thrill's face.
The new Vince Staples album, consistently good.
No,
okay, that's true. He's not lying there.
It's unfortunately not very good at all.
Fuck you.
I want to go back and yell about how overrated Kamaya is for a minute. That was such a soft E&M for them. And like, they also shafted I want to plug, because I haven't ranted about it yet, the Cam in China EP that came out last year. If you want the most aggressive misogyny in rap with the gender roles reversed, listen to that album. It's so fun.
Wait, well, who is it?
Cam in China. It's just the most aggressively misandrous, like, male objectifying rap project I've ever heard.
I think it's on my Spotify.
I love me some dick.
What was that album that they gave best, like, that rap album that they gave best in music, like, early this year? Might have even been last year. It covers, like, a bunch of people on, like, a fucking staircase or something.
That's Kamaya.
Is that the one? I was like, yeah. Where did that
fucking
come
from? It was, like, a mixtape. I've heard that so many times trying to, like, get into it.
Yeah, no, and I was... They gave Camila best new music.
And I was, like, I was down for it.
Did they give her best new music?
No,
Kamaya?
Yeah,
that's the album. What, they didn't give Still Breezy best new music.
Oh, unbelievable.
That album is so...
Yeah, where is YG? YG was here in 2014 after he dropped My Crazy Life,
Luke,
which was not great. But after Still Breezy, they were like, disassociate.
Because
he went vegan, he got shot.
Didn't they best new music My Crazy
She
Life?
She vegan,
no,
but she still
came,
thick though.
They went 8. I think it was 8.1.
It was 8.1.
What was Still Brazy?
It was like 7 points.
Oh,
it was 8.1.
They were on the
but
train.
The point
from,
is that they had that album was so fucking good.
They were on the train for My Crazy Life, which is like a questionable decision. And then, like,
there was
still
a lot of people. Like, on KTT, like, Kanye Tuda, there were so many people that stay in that album, and I didn't fucking.
But, like, Still Brazy came out, and they were, like, just disassociate entirely. Like, we are
all. No, maybe that's just because he didn't really do anything that, like.
Still Brazy was so much better.
No,
it was
such
better, but also didn't really do anything problematic that would prompt that behavior.
Well, no, what was that one song?
Oh, the misogynistic one?
Yeah.
You mean all of them?
No, he has one. Like, on that album, there's one. Oh, fuck, I haven't listened to it in a while.
Me,
I listened to it like last summer, but like,
yeah, no,
there's
not,
one song I was just like, oh, I gotta kind of skip this because it's like.
I mean, I don't skip it because it's a banger, but like, I do acknowledge that's misogynistic, but like, it still bangs.
There are so many moments I'm still praising that are like, could be problematic, but are just so wholesome. Like, I love Mexicans, I fuck with Mexicans, or
Dude, talk about that is the top two, the number one protest song of Donald Trump here is FDT. No doubt.
That's the thing, because no one made a good. He was the only person who pretty much made.
He made a good like. That's the only good song about the 2016 election.
Number two,
in
though,
general.
We the people.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that.
Okay.
True.
But that was kind of after, but still.
Oh no, but no, they made
there
that.
There was like a Mexican death metal song that was apparently like a really good Trump diss.
Alternatively, the best protest song from the 2016 election is Lone Star by Sun Kilmoon.
That's hiking my
pants. I have to disagree. I have to go with the late Tigray comeback song, Something Something Hillary.
I'm with her.
It's their, their first song in like, 10 years, and it's a fucking, like, Hillary Clinton
advertisement.
Is that what,
it's
I don't
so
know,
like.
It's Kathleen Hanna's band.
Mm-hmm. It's so awkward.
I didn't listen to that song because I like Kathleen Hanna and I didn't want to dislike her.
I have not.
Because literally everyone said that song was horrible, so I'm like,
it was bad.
That's
all I have to say. Like, it was bad. I don't object to its existence.
Let's discuss Sunday, which, as we've
song.
Mentioned,
yeah, it's
no
one.
I don't give a shit about anyone up until
like
5
p.m. Yeah.
I might, like, Colin Stetson is somewhat intriguing.
I want to see Joy Perp, but like, I don't need.
I'm certainly
I'm
gonna try and hear some of Colin Stetson's set because he's got that like Pony Bear Arcade Fire cred, but like,
and also
I don't like any of his
Zombie and the Sarah Newfield was pretty good.
Did the Avalanches overlap with anyone on Sunday?
No, it's Pine Grove. No, it's Pine Grove Avalanches. Oh, Ride. They overlap with Ride. Yeah.
And no, because here's the thing: knowing Blue Stage and how many delays it's gonna have, I know Pine Grove are gonna like. Overlap with like Avalanches, or like they're gonna end like right before Avalanches.
In which case, I gotta bail on Pine Grove for Avalanches.
Yeah.
Because Blue Stage was terrible. Because I avoided Blue Stage pretty much up until like Sunday.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to see anything. But like Sunday, it was terrible because there was like. So like, I think Sun Ra took maybe a little too long to get set up, and then Home, who was like some like. Not
well, Sunra had like 40 people on
that's
stage.
That's true. Yeah. Home was like, again, they're decent, but like for like essentially what is essentially like a kind of like an average indie rock like local band, like they're local. Like for them,
wait,
that's
Home, H-O-N-N-E.
Yeah,
they're from fucking Germany.
No, it's a different Home.
H-O-N-N-E.
I think it's home with the end.
Oh, okay.
I'm off that. I'm off the mic's hard.
I'm off that boost right now.
But yeah, there. Boost stage is gonna have delays. It always has delays.
Interesting.
And I know because I went 1 year on one day and it had a lot of delays. Yeah, I expect it's gonna have delays on Sunday. So I'm not expecting to catch avalanches because I want to get a good spot for Nicholas Jarre.
Oh, that's gonna be a killer.
I am seeing the avalanches, baby. And yeah. Danny Brown is coming out hard.
He doesn't have a date
until like the 23rd.
Oh shit!
There is no doubt in my mind.
I mean, they're playing Green State. I mean, because I'll hear their set because I'll be waiting for Nicholas Jarre.
They're like technically the pre-Solange headliner.
Well, no,
like,
Nicholas Jarre is the pre-Solange headliner.
But like,
it's
as far as like on Green Stage.
Okay, yeah. Green Stage, yeah, you're correct. But yeah. Yeah, Solange, as we mentioned, yeah, Jeff Rose is like not sure. We'll try to catch a little Solange. But so, hey, if you're gonna.
I want to hear Cranes in the Sky. I hope she like plays
yeah,
that early.
Starts up, yeah, gets that early. Once
so
I hear
like,
that,
honestly,
I
the only song I would recognize.
The problem with that song is that it's either the first song or the very last song.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it only works as a closer or an opener.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird because it's in a weird spot on the album.
It's like track three.
Yeah.
It's like
intro,
one track,
it's really out of place.
I don't think it's out of place at all.
It should be.
As
far as like playing it live, it would be like weird if it wasn't the opener or the closer,
yeah,
but on the album it's in the
book. Oh shit!
Yeah.
We did not talk about the
hydration is a pillar.
So okay, we're going to talk about
set.
We didn't talk about. So we watched a film before we recorded.
Oh my god, we're getting into this.
We have to.
So I told Jake,
this.
I was like Jake, I was like Jake, look up this movie Miami Connection because Red Letter Media did the best and the worst on it. I mean, it was on Netflix, but instead we found Badass 2,
Badasses,
Badass starring
ass.
Danny Trejo and Donald Glover, and it was
Danny
the greatest.
Danny Glover.
It was the most epic shit I've ever seen. I don't know where he was going, but
it's true, folks.
So I guess the point.
I said the name wrong.
There was a YouTube video. When was this YouTube video?
This was like this is early YouTube. It's like 06.
Maybe a little later.
Like an old guy who punched a guy on a bus.
And it spawned that meme and also Amber Lamps. Someone call it Amber Lamps.
So they decided to make a movie based on this guy.
A movie trilogy.
A movie
trilogy.
You were correct.
So instead of watching the first one, we decided to start with Badass 2.
Second one is Badass 2. What's the subhead?
Badasses.
Badasses.
I can't believe you forgot that.
And then the third is Badasses on the Bayou.
And so we're playing it after every day. So we start Thursday with Badass 2. So do we decide on if we're going to watch the first one?
It doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay, we're going to watch number one tomorrow after we get home from the fest.
We got to save the bio for the last, honestly.
Yeah, we know according to Rotten Tomatoes, the third one is the best. And
well,
it is
because
the
we'll be at Rosenstock, so we ought to watch that Saturday.
Oh, you're right.
Well, there's only two more movies, so...
Yeah. So tomorrow we'll watch Badass, and we're going to watch...
Oh, yeah.
And we'll... We might do a... We should try to do a Periscope of us watching Badass.
I thought you were going to say a podcast.
I mean,
on the Badass.
We might do like a so this movie is basically it's like an action film with like every
we could do a podcast.
Every action film trope that you can think of.
Genuinely, the most cliche movie I've ever like we called like every single line and every single
every like
before
so, every setup. So the movie's about Danny Trejo. He got famous because there's a viral video of him punching a dude on a bus.
Why did
he
punch the dude? And who was the dude he punched?
I don't know.
Well, it wasn't Dan.
So
it was
this
I actually think that like basically was the first movie's actually about that.
Yeah,
the first movie's like a dramatization because like he like beats up a whole gang on a bus apparently or something. Is what the Netflix description said.
Oh boy.
But like yeah, it's it was some absurd shit.
Anyway, so yeah, badasses. So Danny Trejo, he punches a guy on a bus, becomes an honorary police officer. Is he arriving?
The door is still shut as of now, but I'll
keep an eye on the lookout. So Danny Trejo, so he becomes an honorary police officer, which we find out later in the movie that, he worked at a hot dog stand, and he had to save up enough money to pay for his dog's cancer treatments. And he had enough money left over to start like a boxing gym, pretty much, and like train people. And that's where the movie starts off. And so he starts off with this guy Manny, who we find out is basically like, essentially one of his
His protege.
His protege, pretty much. And you know, Manny gives him an iPhone, and there's a nice little video on there. Like, oh, that's cute. And then Manny, like, is walking home.
He's a drug dealer. Manny deals drugs and drinks. He deals Advil pills,
pretty much. It's Advil. It's Advil or, like, Tylenol?
He gets stabbed.
So he gets stabbed by some gangsters, and the gangster, you complain, like, again, one cliche, the character that we established as being close to the main character, he dies pretty much instantly.
It's kind of like Taken, but with more cliches and comic relief.
Yes.
Yeah. But, like, you know, actually, let's just skip for the best part of Danny Glover being the horn dog. Oh, the tire flip.
So I called this one.
Yeah, so the best, the best, okay, so there's one part where, in order to find Danny's, what's his name,
Adolfo.
Miguel, what's the guy who got killed?
Manny.
To find Manny's killers, they have to go to a frat party to find one of the guys in
one
the drug ring.
Adolfo.
So this guy, what happens, they find this guy at the frat party.
Not a single bottle of Mike's heart at the party yet.
That's a bad party. That's like, I was talking about party. Anyways, so there's this, the guy sniffing coke off some girl. Some scantily clad blonde girl.
One.
Yes, and be respectful.
Yeah. And so they come out, and they start pushing him around. Danny Trejo starts, like, you know, interrogating him.
Castrates him with a desk fan.
And we don't see his penis, but it's insinuated that it's tiny.
Yeah.
But it's also insinuated that
he gives him a circumcision with a desk fan. I mean, he just breathes right over that. That happens.
I was going to say.
But Danny Glover.
So this girl, though, that he was sniffing cocaine off of, Danny Glover sits back and he starts talking to her. So this dude she's hanging out with starts getting his ass kicked. He's like, I'm gonna hang back, talk to one of the guys here. And he starts talking, and they start talking about her major. She's like, I'm double majoring, so it's gonna take 5 years. I figured the real world's not going anywhere. You know what I mean?
She says verbatim, I have daddy issues, so I would get with an older man.
Their exchange is the hardest fail of the Bechdel test I've ever seen.
It was an amazing film moment. And then at one point he has to leave it abruptly. She's like, Facebook me. So we're waiting the entire world.
I called it. I was like, oh, Danny Glover.
That's the thing. Like every single moment in the first half of the film is called back to in the second half of the film.
Didn't we say that's gonna be the closing gag of the
movie?
Yes. That's gonna be the girl from college.
So anyways, Danny Trejo's. He starts to skip to the end.
So Manny's mom gets together with Manny's mom, and it's like, and I called that one pretty early on.
Well, no, they do the.
I mean, it's pretty easy to predict, anyways.
And like
he's about to get with her gag.
Again.
But then Danny Glover, like, farts from another room gag. Twice.
And then he's like, oh, sorry, I was getting a piece of pie. Then the girl from the frat house comes up and is like,
you're in the wrong room for that.
I still don't get that.
Like, the.
He's in the kitchen. He's like in the fridge, and he farts.
Did you never watch American Pie?
And then he's like, "I'm trying to get some pie," and she's like, "You're in the wrong room."
Is pie eating sex?
Is that what she said when she came?
Yeah, like verbatim.
I'm trying to fuck.
And then the movie ends on a freeze frame of Manny's mom and Danny Trejo with a really bad beer, like a really bad
freeze
frame.
They tapping beers.
Yeah, really bad. Like, because we were discussing it, I was like. Okay.
Roll call.
Okay, I was like, okay.
Bring a lot of
question for the forum. Is Danny Trejo's beard fake in the movie?
My passion's film.
I'm gonna say real.
I think it's fake just because
his mustache
in real life is better than, like, whatever he had on
in the
movie.
Well, but here's the thing, though. Like, the counterpoint is that they're trying to base it off of the character, off the guy from YouTube video. So that's why they made it look.
But also, I Google imaged Danny Trejo with a beard, and every image was from the badass series.
Well, cause that's because he wants his mustache because it looks so much more badass.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say it's real, but
it's up for
debate. Makeup and film effects.
Yeah.
It's a little comedy.
I'm gonna say it's not real because the gray coloring is way too specific, and it looks like it's made of wax. It doesn't move.
Yeah, I'll take it. You can switch spots. Carved pile
of steel wool okay. is what that beard looks
okay.
like.
We're gonna take it.
Okay.
It's oh. amazing.
You wanna take it, AJ?
I was gonna go back over there. But...
Okay, you can go back over there.
Well, no. I'll
okay,
take
so
it.
Badass is two. So we're gonna watch. I'm really interested to see Bass in the Bayou because there's gonna be so many good gags.
That's like the conclusion, though.
Oh, and it's gonna bring back that girl. That there's a one. There's
yeah,
like a
I think
black security guard lady.
Okay, so yeah, let's
there's
discuss
an, there's
this.
A plot
I think
you
very clearly
have...
missed that reference from the first movie, so we gotta go back and get the prequel.
There's a plot they're gonna have a threesome.
Right. Yeah, because yeah, think... I'm like, I said that. I'm like, I'm off the rolling rock, and I'm
no,
like,
they're
gonna.
They
fuck
literally
her.
Said the word like threesome at some point.
Yes.
So like,
I was like, wait, they said it, threesome.
But that never happens, but not...
We got the third movie.
She seems to be prominently featured in this new, next in this bio
She's in the
film.
Poster.
Yeah, so
it's
we gotta happen. We gotta go back to one, get the callbacks set up for three when it's all just all payoff.
Yeah, I agree.
No setups, all payoff.
No setups, all
Isn't that like the
all
premise
killer,
of a Mega
no,
64
all
video?
Killer, all killer, no filler.
When the sum is 41.
When the sum is 41.
Jesus Christ.
Just jumble them all up and turn badass into memento.
Oh my god.
We're just gonna start at the beginning, or end at the beginning.
Okay.
We started right in the middle.
That's true. We're doing a reverse
That's memento. Classic literary technique.
Alright, very, okay.
Immediate res, they call it. I went to school.
Importante. Jeremiah has been he's been asleep for like 3 hours, right?
He deserves
no, more, way more because he's been asleep since like 7 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
No,
he
got up briefly. He got up briefly.
He got
said hi to you and then went back to bed.
Yeah, that's true. I also want to talk about the fact that I showed up alone in a lift on the curb here, not knowing whether this is the right Airbnb. Knocked on the door.
It was the correct address.
So, yeah. It was, but I wasn't
well,
sure.
We went to,
like,
we put this address in and it took us to a house like across the street. So.
Exactly. I thought maybe
dead,
something
dead,
like that might have
dead
happened.
That dead ass happened and we were digging through like...
This is the first address
someone's
I found.
Mail.
We were digging through like someone's porch and then the guy came out while I was just like looking through a lockbox on his porch and he was like, excuse me. And I was like, all right, I'm leaving.
Yeah, literally I was like sneaking around this house looking for like numbers and like... What names were listed? Because
me and
the
Jake were out. We were out running some errands.
Getting them dogs.
Getting them dogs.
Shout
getting the mics.
Yeah, shout out to the dogs.
Basically, I arrived to an Airbnb where either people had left without telling me, and then the three people
well,
who
here's
stayed.
Well, here's the thing.
You guys went to Portillo's. Alex and I, we forgot to print out our tickets, so we had to go to the library, and we took the longest route possible. And the,
how was
and,
the
how, and the assistant was very passive aggressive towards
how,
us.
How was the force? How was
she
the force part?
Like
she was like Pitchfork Music Festival, huh? Kind of shit, if you ask.
There's a metal festival going on here this weekend.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
I went on a plane with like a half dozen
also,
guys.
And there's a barbecue fest. Festival.
There's also
which I'd rather
there's
go
also
this.
There's also 4 days of Fish concerts in a row starting tonight.
No, and you know, no, who's
the City of the Arts.
Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett's gonna be playing Cosmo on Saturday, which is my aesthetic.
Yeah,
like,
Jimmy Buffett, the god.
Jimmy Buffett. I've never listened to one of his songs. I tried to listen to one of his
You've
songs.
You've never
purpose.
Heard one Jimmy Buffett
song? On purpose.
Oh,
I tried to like a few weeks ago. And I was like, I can't fucking do.
Jimmy Buffett has a couple classics. He's got like this trilogy, that's like Beaches, maybe Babes, and like. Beer or something. It's like these
Beach
three.
Beer.
It's like these three beer. White album covers. It's classics.
Oh, that sounds like a precursor to the 2005 double album from Nelly that no one remembers, Suit and Sweat. In which case, the two album covers are Nelly cut in half. In one of them, he's wearing a suit, and in the other, he's wearing a muscle shirt.
Was he
suit
was
and
he
sweat.
Rocking
that
the band-aid at that point?
But the
I think
point,
it was
the
after he took
the
band-aid
though.
Off. This is like mature.
Oh, it's
no
Bays. One
nothing.
Of them is Bays, like Bays, because Jimmy Buffett like wants to fuck the ocean, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyways, your story about the metal festival, Willie.
Oh, I don't really have a story. I just like got on a plane with a bunch of like dudes in battle jackets and was like, is there another festival happening this weekend? This is kind of bizarre.
Not one metal act at Pitchfork this year.
Yeah, fucking
Didn't book Wreck and Reference.
Yeah.
I mean, Colin Stetson kind of counts because he just did like a metal album.
Colin Stetson counts as metal?
Well, let me explain. I just told you he just put out like a side project called Exile that's like avant metal.
If Death Heaven counts, Colin Stetson counts.
Sure.
Okay, there we go.
But anyway, the point being though is that yeah, Jimmy Buffett is even though I don't like his music, he's 100% my aesthetic. I mean, okay, like pre-gaming, wearing Hawaiian shirts.
Jimmy Buffett is the artist
drink,
of
drink,
what the
drink.
Hell, why not?
Yeah. Go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, because I mean, we're in Hawaiian shirts, freaking margaritas in the parking lot. Like, that's like extremely my aesthetic as hell.
So let's pretend like we're doing a normal podcast. Let's play a special game of what have we been listening to that's not Pitchfork Axe.
We're 3 minutes away, by the way, from Japanese Breakfast getting the 10.0.
Oh yeah, we need to keep on lock for that.
Okay.
Get Pitchfork up. Did you get the Wi-Fi password already? Did you already pass the Wi-Fi password?
Yeah.
Wi-Fi?
Well, it's
okay. So, Jake.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how the two most valuable Pitchfork writers, Zoe Camp and Ian Cohen, cannot both be here this year, or can both not be here this year.
Who's the guy who wrote the Algiers review, the 5.8?
Wasn't that Sheldon Pierce?
Yeah. Sheldon Pierce, I'm going to fight this
year. I'll beat up Sheldon Pierce.
Wait, did Algiers album?
You got a 5.8.
Which is okay before the score comes out,
because it was written by Sheldon Pierce is a very bad writer he was the wrong writer, because here's the thing, he only reviews like trap records, like trap and drill, like that's all you're, like this, like he's just their hip hop guy,
it's not hard enough.
I
had a demonic vision the other night before this review comes out that Pitchfork gave Soft Sounds from Another Planet a 5.8. But then I realized that would confirm 5.8 as the new 10.0, which is the new 7.9, the new 8.1, which was the new 9.3, which was the new 9.2. So like, we're very close to just confirmation that 5.8 is the new 10.0. Because I feel like we might just fuck around and give the new Japanese Breakfast a 5.8. It's going to be either a 5.8 or like an 8.8 plus best new music.
Yeah, I feel like they could do it.
My prediction is 8.4 or 8.5.
I see 8.1.
But like that quote, so yeah, I don't know if we talked about it here yet, but like...
Yeah, you told me when we were driving to the Airbnb.
So Jeremiah like got his copy of the album early, and he ordered like the bundle that was the vinyl, the CD, and like this booklet. But like he kept the CD unsealed and we listened to it in the car yesterday, but before we listened to it, he like had the seal wrap on, and it had a quote from Pitchfork like... as like on the, a sticker on the saran wrap on the album, and it was like Michelle's Honor channels like early Bjork and Stevie Nicks at her most raw to like create this like whatever album, and we read like every single track review and profile they'd ever published, and none of that language was in there, and so we were like, this is from the official review of the Pitchfork album for this record, and if you're gonna name drop Bjork and Stevie Nicks, I don't feel like that's not a best new music.
Yeah, that's true.
Or like that's not a pan, so like it's getting best new music.
They could just pull a call bomb and give him the 8.4 no best new music.
That's a heartbreak.
That's a spicy one.
That's such a fucking good album. Though.
That's a top five metal album of the decade.
That was our number six album in 2016. That album. No, I'm not mad about is that I was supposed to see them last night.
Oh shit!
But they had to cancel their tour because the lead singer Charlie Bell.
Yep. Oh no! Yeah, Charlie.
He broke his foot like at a festival like a few months ago. He broke his foot.
Dave Grohl. He broke his foot and continued his tour. This Cobalt guy is pretty. He's a pussy.
The Foo Fighters is more metal than Cobalt.
Exactly.
The point is that they canceled their entire tour.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah,
so I would love to see that album tour.
But they said they're gonna like.
That wasn't even the best metal album of last year.
What?
That wasn't even the best metal album.
What was the best
album? It wasn't.
High on Fire. Luminiferous was.
Anyways, what have you been listening to? Jake, what besides Pitchfork stuff, what have you been listening to?
On my drive here, I listened to Forever Changes by Love and Pet Sounds. So I guess I'm on like a 60s psychedelic pop kick.
Pet Sounds, I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's like an obscure indie gem.
Oh yeah, that was an act we didn't talk about. That came out last year that we saw with Brian Wilson.
Tomorrow, we gotta wait.
Who was so out of it? Brian Wilson was so out of that, but it was still great. It's Pet Sounds.
Good to see. Like,
you have to see it. It's Pet Sounds. And his band picked up enough. That was like, okay.
Yeah, I was just watching his set kind of from afar in the Sufjan.
Oh, 8.0 no best new music.
Shit,
which means that it's coming. Tomorrow.
No, the thing is, I love the new White Room, which means I probably love the new Sheermag.
Oh yeah, the Sheermag is up your alley.
They got an 8.0.
Yeah. I listened to their compilation thing. I didn't like it that much.
No,
but
the new Sheermag, which means that Jeremiah and I were talking about. We were debating like when the Japanese Breakfast Review was coming and what it was going to be, and he said that like because they reviewed, because we were on the road together, and they dropped the Waxahachie review last night, which is like an
8.
Waxahachie.
There's a city, like one of the suburbs in the DFW area.
It was an 8.2, no best in music. And then he was like, okay, so it's either going to be Sheer Meg or Japanese Breakfast tomorrow with the best in music, and then the other one is going to come like on Saturday. Then it's Sheer Meg tonight, no best in music, which means you know what's coming. That Japanese Breakfast, best in music, baby. We're here, we're out here, India's
podcast. Why wouldn't they give it to it first?
Tastemakers. Because they just gave Broken Social Scene a best in music. They want to like space it out a little bit.
That was like a Monday.
They want to space it out a little bit. That was Tuesday.
Oh. That was on. I think that was before. That was Monday, I think.
Speaking of which, I like that album a lot.
I love that album, man.
What have you been listening to, Will? That's not Pitchfork stuff.
Honestly, I've not been listening to a lot of music this week, but
Wow. Okay.
So some stuff I've been listening to is Air, Moon Safari. I've been listening to that. Actually, I've been listening to Avalanche. I'm not a big Avalanche guy, but I've been listening to that to fall asleep for the past few days, and it's pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah. That's like my darn thing.
AJ, I'm just gonna. Killer's Christmas album.
I mean, we did listen to it once.
Okay.
I've listened to Rocket a lot because I saw Sandy, Alex G last week. I think Rocket might be the album of the year as of right now.
I support that.
Since I've only listened to Soft Sounds like 5 times so far.
It was a sorority noise.
But like, it was like. It was the Fred Thomas album for a while, and like Swordfish is up there too. But I was like, there's nothing that's like definitively album.
No, there's still nothing for me.
There's nothing definitive, but like I think Rocket is the closest thing. Like right again, only have listened to like Soft Sounds has not officially released yet, or has been officially out for like 2 minutes right now.
AJ so, holding restraint, surprising.
We'll just keep it there for a sec. But like I think like as far as like definitive albums of the year go, like for things that like on the first couple listens, I was like, yo, this fucks. I think like Rocket is definitely up there. It's either Rocket or Sorority Noise for me, and so like
Rocket's in my top 10.
But like Rocket goes.
That fucks.
Hey, Alex, hit us with it.
I've been listening to Control by SZA a lot. It's just I don't know what to say about it. It's just a really strong record. I don't feel like I have much that I could input, but it's just really kind of raw and heartfelt. I've been listening to Crime, Beyond the Fleeting Gates, and it's just a really fun arena rock emo record. It's not really an emo record.
It sounds like it's like.
I mean, they're on Run for Cover.
It sounds like Van Halen with like an emo.
Blowing the Wash was a high key song.
That's true.
Van Halen is the band.
I've been listening to. Freight Train and other North Carolina folk songs and tunes by Elizabeth Cotton.
Yeah, I actually listened to that like a week ago because you sent it to me.
I'm gonna reframe my answer though. I've been listening to Broken Social Scene. I don't like You've Forgotten People, but I do like this new album.
I've seen that take a lot.
That's like I've never liked Broken Social. I think that was actually Ian Cohen's take.
Another album I've listened to is Motherfucking Born to Run.
I listened to that on 4th of July.
Yeah.
Same actually.
Yeah.
What a classic.
I got Born to Run the book for Christmas. Yeah. And I've been reading it on and off since then, but I'm like in the last few chapters making my final push. It's a long book, it's like 500 pages.
It's like a perfect, like, perfectly paced book because you can just, like, finish one of the sections and like walk away for like 6 months and then just like pick it up again. It's like 4 books basically.
Yeah, but so the point is I'm in the last few chapters, I'm making my final push. So the other day I listened to Born to Run and gee golly, that is such the perfect rock.
And you're like, yeah, this is the best album of all
time.
Wait,
AJ, what's your favorite song on there?
Thunder Road or Jungle Land?
Yeah, Thunder Road is my number one. That honestly might be the greatest album I've opened up. Because in 5 minutes you go from not knowing, never heard even name Bruce Springsteen in your life,
to
being like, I'm going to run away with this man and like live life on the road with this man. Like,
so Thunder Road is like the best album opener until like Tunnels came out, and then there was like a question that was like, is Thunder Road the best album opener of all time?
It still is.
But like that was the first song ever to be like. Is it the best album opener of all time? Like, that's it, basically.
Alright, Willie.
I've been majorly hooked on Daniel Avery's album Drone Logic. I, like, knew about that album when I came out and did not get into it just because I was lazy and was sort of, like, John Hopkins'd out that year.
And then I found out this year, after she broke up, that Kelly Leones was on a bunch of tracks on this thing, so I went back to check it out. It's like one of the best dance music albums I've heard in a very long time.
Wait, World Halo, or did I miss the name?
Oh, Daniel Avery.
Okay, okay.
Drone Logic. Yeah, yeah, it's just like a super like ambitious, artfully crafted dance music album that also just like bumps consistently the entire time. It's like every 2 minutes he just drops like another immaculately programmed, like super juicy, like massive sounding modular synth sequence, and just like it's just that perfect mix of like intellectual and adrenaline inducing. So I've been hooked on a lot of tracks from that.
Which album is that?
Drone Logic by Daniel Avery.
Okay, I might, because I like intellectual and I like adrenaline.
This is like very like thoughtfully crafted dance music, but still like, kind of just like bumps.
Adrenaline.
Wolf
of Thrill likes to live dangerously.
The official podcast member of Go For It, hell yeah, and why not?
Alright, my turn. I listened to a lot of stuff. The new Tori Ma album. I've not shot on a podcast yet. It's one of the best albums of the year. It's the best fucking thing that Tori Ma has done yet.
Who?
Tori Ma.
Who?
Toro y Moi.
Oh,
something.
Actually, I
Boo
haven't
Boo.
Heard this. I just haven't heard it.
It's a fucking great album. It's the best
thing. I can't hear the phrase boo without going, boo boo? From a butterfly.
Jesus Christ. Oh god, now you're gonna make me start saying it like that. Boo Boo, it's a great album. Best thing that Chaz has done. It, like, for sure, best thing he's...
What did I say, no?
I mean, Chaz Bear, that's his name, Chaz Bear.
Yeah.
That's his new name. He was Chaz Bundy.
30 seconds ago, I was like, what's his name, Noah? That's incorrect.
No.
Did he, like...
Close.
I did a review today on
the Chaz Bundy legally, or did he just, like, go...
He changed
his
name to Chaz Bear.
Like, changed it to Chaz Bear.
Chaz Bear is, like, his new name. Like, that's his, like, new, like, when you talk about, like, press and stuff. So that album's fucking great. If you, like... Basically, if you want... If you want Tori Ma to make, like, an early 80s R&B album, that's what it is. It's fucking great. The new A.V. Tear album, it leaked, and I've been listening to that over the past couple weeks, and it's a fucking good record. It's, like, it's sort of a weird combination of, like, campfire sounds, or campfire songs, sung tongs, and feels. Oh shit.
Oh no.
Oh boy.
We called it too.
Well, because we've been on for 2 hours, so yeah. It's like...
He's arrived.
30 years.
That's been 86 years. Or 87 years.
Keep it
goes straight for the Mysar.
He is not wearing any pants.
This podcast just got not safe for work.
Do what we will put. Aviator Eucalyptus. It comes. It comes out on Friday.
Fuck,
next Friday. So go listen to it.
Except
it's
like
great. A definite return to form. Definitely best thing he's done since down there. But
isn't it like the only thing? Oh, he did a slash effects.
Yeah, and that I haven't listened to that.
I
found
a slash effects more than down there.
Here's the thing. I'm a sucker for breakup albums, and the thing is that Eucalyptus and Down There are both breakup albums.
As we know.
Yes, as we know. Sure.
Wait.
You do not deserve to have this level of shame.
He's wearing an Animal Collective shirt, throwing shade at a member of Animal Collective.
They start shit at me for saying I love breakup albums, because it's like one of my favorite songs of all time. Car Seat Headrest and Knowing That You're Awake, best song is ever made, and it's it's a breakup song.
That's a bad take.
No, fuck.
That's
wait.
A really bad take.
No,
but it's a bad take that I support.
Thank you, Jake.
Wait, yeah, I want you to know that I'm awake by Car Seat
Headrest.
Review it yet? It's a good song. I just don't. It wouldn't even make my top 10.
They did Sherman.
That's so
no, it'd definitely be top 3 to 5 for me for Car Seat Headrest.
Oh,
but yeah. And then, of course, Dean Blunt, The Redeemer, the greatest album of all time, as I've mentioned,
like the premier slot.
Time and time again. And no one
the
will. I've got a couple people. I got Lily to listen to The Redeemer.
Saturday slot.
On camera.
They might wait till Monday. They might wait till Monday and just be like. They might wait till Monday and just be like
9.5. Jeremiah will be back. He's finally here. We can talk about some Pitchfork stuff with him. So, do we want to take a quick breather and then wait for Jeremiah to see
how much we're building Mike's Carter Tower.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick let's take a quick breather, and we will be back with Jeremiah and Kasha. All right.
Look, we did find it for $5 at a yard sale. Me and Kasha, we were at a yard sale. We found it for $5.
That was how it went.
Jeremiah, he is awoken from his great rest.
Awaken my red bone meme.
Awaken my love. my love being Jeremiah, or really Cash's love. Jeremiah, so we, because Jeremiah missed. What the hell is going on?
I'm sitting here crying because I think she's wanting to meet
it. Jeremiah, because he missed so much.
How much
we're
do I actually
ten, we're giving him 10 like, minutes of freedom.
Did you guys have long-winded discussions about
yes.
Stan Romanek and how...
No, we did not have...
And how it all makes sense once
we
realize... Oh, we didn't talk about that yet.
We were legally obligated to refrain from discussing that until the trial has taken place.
It makes sense.
Okay, so Jeremiah, please explain Stan Romanek.
Okay.
Because you were like, we gotta watch this alien movie. And Alex, we're gonna, like, Alex and I were gonna go do something... And we're like, and then we got hooked. We had to keep watching.
So. Aliens are real, first of all. Second of all, Stan Romanek's a child pornographer. These two things are not mutually exclusive, fortunately.
But they do come together somehow.
Yeah. So there's a new documentary out on Netflix. That it's been out since like 2014, but like Netflix just bought it because homeboy has his child pornography hearing in like 2 weeks or something, and I guess for whatever reason
well,
Netflix
I think
is,
it ends on the
it ends on
it's
like
a,
a,
it's just a black screen that just says Stan Romanek has been arrested for child pornography. Period.
Okay, well,
and they're
we'll
like, and
get
they're
to
like,
that. Let's
here's
just...
how you can frame people for child pornography. That's like the last 5 minutes. That's
there is a couple repeatable sources, and then it's like InfoWars.
Yeah, InfoWars. Here's how you frame someone for child pornography, and they're like, oh, we're not telling you that it's
so,
innocent, but
okay.
It's innocent until proven guilty, and believe. And you're like, okay, good.
So, explain
Anyways,
the structure of this documentary.
So, there's over 195 pieces of documented evidence from Stan Romanek, where he's like, mind his own business, and bam! He gets alien.
Can we just talk about real quick? It's over 195.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that it's probably less than 200. Which means that it's probably like 197, but they like just wanted to exaggerate it.
Mm. Oh. Essentially, Stan is more or less the chosen one. His name is Starseed.
Starseed? Dude, if I got to do a cheat on his wife, she's hot chick. Like, she's attractive.
Yeah, no, it's
Victoria
no, yeah,
or
yeah.
Heidi?
I think Heidi.
Both.
Heidi's the main one that's cheating.
They're both more attractive than his wife, let's be.
But Lisa has stuck with him.
Lisa's
no, he's sweet, but based on conventional beauty standards, both these women he cheat on his wife with are more attractive than his wife.
No.
Again, the UFO group.
Usually you don't cheat on your wife with somebody like uglier.
Trying to stick my dick inside your panties.
Trying to stick my starseed in front of your probe. No, trying to put my probe all
over. Starseed, that's what they nicknamed me at the sperm bank.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, and then there's Kioma and Trilly.
Oh, yeah, there's Kioma and Trilly, which are his two alien daughters with Victoria.
But don't
think so. The thing with Victoria is that they were banging, but like they didn't know each other because the aliens were like hooking them up while they were drugged.
Wait, so how long was he with the aliens?
He's like, been abducted like 10 months.
No, but how long?
Like a night.
Like what about
like a singular night?
Just a singular night. So like how long was?
So the aliens are like, yo, bitch, and then they like.
Yo, bitch.
Remember when he got tased and he was like, I just felt this numbing sensation in the
back.
He didn't
feel it, apparently.
And turns out it was tased. So that's what the aliens are doing to him. They're tasing him. Taking him on their spaceship. They're taking him aboard their beautiful ship.
They
showing
aliens
him
are
things.
Very interested in human reproduction.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Especially Stan.
Especially Stan, because he's got starseed flowing
star
through his semen.
Through his loins.
No, my flower.
I think it would have been a lot more believable if they just named him something other than Starseed. Like
is
if
that,
they were like,
did
if they're like,
Stan. Aliens speak English?
No, English is their second language.
No. Okay. Well, the thing is, so they played that tape. It was like all like sped up and mangled, and it's like you play it at 13% speed, and then you hear like a British woman.
Wait,
Starseed
is like,
time.
If the British woman is an alien and she's able to talk, like. in an English accent? How come their real language is like...
The first one was actually GLaDOS from Portal.
I was actually thinking it was just the Mac voice. You know how you can make the Mac say anything?
Yeah, it's really just a vocoder.
Yeah.
Because they can't make human sounds.
But if they had just said
something
like...
Wait, you know
what
they
can do? Sorry to interrupt
soft
you.
From
I just saw that this Mike's Harder is crafted to remove gluten. So this is gluten-free. Mike's Harder
Thanks,
is gluten-free.
Mike.
You heard
Let me get my
first.
Daily intake of gluten.
The former Brent ambassador for
former
NHL.
Former Brent ambassador.
Oh, Mike.
We discussed that. That was the first thing we discussed.
I think there's gluten in gluten.
We had to do it to him first thing.
We had to do it to him. But yeah, this movie was fucking bizarre, and every twist, pretty much like the first like 40 minutes of it is like just showing like
the evidence.
Showing the evidence.
And then
like,
the next 40 minutes is like Stan talking.
And
every,
like.
Every 5 minutes, Jeremiah would say, "This is when it gets out of hand."
And it did!
And
it would get out of hand!
Every time.
It would get out of hand, like the time when he saw the alien for the first time and videotaped it.
Oh
like,
my god!
Oh, yeah. It's like it's your typical face with like the face that like curves like this and stuff and the big eyes and everything. Like there's these stereotypical
yeah,
image.
I love
like
selfies.
Oh, that's so funny.
That
was
so
cute.
Yeah.
His smile. The alien.
It looks like I didn't make. I did not make
those female aliens.
Yeah, why do the female aliens have titties?
Because they're women, because they're mammals.
I kept trying to compare the female aliens to like random trashy indie female. I think I said Haim at one point because it was three of them.
Yikes.
I said Sky. Well,
Haim's not
really trashy.
There are actually two males and one female.
Okay.
Put that in perspective.
Shit, I'm trying to figure out a band that's like yeah one female two males. I think Screaming Females. I think is. Well, that's okay. Jeremiah, continue. So the first 40 minutes is showing off the evidence, and it's a fucking blast. It's hilarious.
Yes. Because
Stan at first, as it seems like, oh, this guy just seems like kind of wholesome. That kind of sucks. And then when we get to the interviews, that's where we're starting to unravel that, oh, something's
up with him. The thing is that he's, like, clearly stable.
Yeah.
He is. He's just kind of, like, unsettling in his own way because he is stable but like I don't want to be friends with him at all.
You can tell that he would try and like coerce you into just like going to his UFO rallies, you know.
He also like beats people up.
Oh yeah, he also did that. He also
beat a black ops guy.
And he said they looked like Black Ops guy and I was like, what does that mean? Aren't Black Ops people supposed to be undercover?
Another thing too is that
he actually beat up.
We don't know.
There's some poor dude out there.
Jake It's a lie.
I know.
I guess that's a good point. So, do we think this story is like
how much of this is bullshit? How much
stories are like
how much of it? Because like maybe 40%. He beat up someone, but it wasn't like a real Black Ops.
I kept saying can you camera up me? You didn't even got camera duties yet. Well, my theory is that.
Oh,
hang on,
Kioma.
We just broke the rules this week so hard.
I actually had no idea you were in there.
Alex,
my theory. Okay, no, don't flip it vertical, bro. Gotta keep it horizontal.
I'm taking the camera back.
Okay, I'm gonna talk to.
I mean, you lost your camera privileges.
Oh, wait, SawSounds is officially out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Turn up, release party.
Okay, not yet. Okay, let's wrap up. My theory is that he was, like, very deeply tied to the mob and all, like,
no,
the
see,
knee brace, everything.
I don't think he's strong enough to be tied to the mob.
No, what really it is, it's just, really just
I mean, you never know.
Yeah, I feel like he is hidden.
Because towards the end, we skipped this part because I was bored.
We skipped the interviews because, the movie ends up with interviews with other people who are trying to, like, corroborate his story, but, like, oh, he's not crazy, oh, he's a nice guy, oh, he's actually,
UFO.
Like, oh, God.
No, UFO.net.
Yeah,
his wife caught him cheating with Victoria, and he just dug himself into a deeper hole with the aliens until he had to, like, doctor evidence.
Yeah.
Yes.
Conspiracy game at Jared Fogle.
Yeah.
Man, shouts out to Felix from Chapo Trap House, the Fogle Liberator.
Wait, what was I gonna say? Oh, yeah, so essentially, he's really just, like, the center of a cult, you know? It's on some, like, Jim Jones shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, at the end, everyone's like, Starseed is coming to rescue us!
We must let him impregnate us with his seed.
And you're like, wow, okay. I mean, not
those parts.
I'm not
let him impregnate me.
But...
I might let him...
Yeah, I mean, like...
Might fuck around and get impregnated by Starseed.
Yeah, I'd do it for the first day on the
movie. I'd do it for the greater good.
Starseed.
Alright.
What?
What? Let's... I think that about does it. We will be back
for
more.
The,
I mean, do you have any?
We have diversifying our profile, our portfolio
infinite,
of content.
Stay tuned for infinite content.
Stay tuned for infinite content now, because everything now.
Everything later.
Everything now. Boop doo boop boop.
Everything now.
That's
I
how
want
it goes. You know what song is really good?
What?
I'll Be Home for Christmas by The Killers, featuring his fourth grade teacher. Dude, song fucks me up. I was just thinking about it.
Perfect way to cut out.
I would feel weird if I ever like talk to my fourth grade teacher ever again. Like
my fourth grade teacher was a busta.
How
we did this thing where he was like,
where
he
this
got
Roberts, if you're out there.
He got this mountain.
Like,
he got a big pitcher of Mountain Dew and poured a bunch of raisins in it. And said that the Mountain Dew was sewer water and that the raisins were sewer maggots. And when they popped, so the raisins sit at the ground and they pop up to the surface after like a few minutes of being in there because like the way the carbonation fills it. And they were like, these are like sewer maggots and they purify the water. And so like after all the raisins popped up, he like started drinking the Mountain Dew and we were like, gross.
Did you guys do the butterfly project?
Probably.
Was it the
like grow a butterfly?
Yeah, we did.
No. For my high school biology class, they made us collect bugs, like, over the summer.
Yeah, bugs.
They stopped doing that, like, I think, like, a year or two after I was done with that class, they stopped doing that.
They gave us, like, beetle larva, and that changed into beetles.
Ew.
Yeah.
I hate the frog dissection, because
I never
like,
did
it's
that.
It's just, like, such a TV
it's,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do it, Jake?
Yeah.
I did a rat dissection.
I didn't dissect nothing, because I'm a vegetarian.
The only thing that we dissect here on the Indie Heads podcast is music, as always.
And
on that note,
what are you stopping? What's happening?
Because
wait,
we're like this podcast is almost 2 hours already.
Give me a 30-second monologue.
Okay.
No,
all right.
We're absolutely not.
Four on you. Close up. Dramatic close up.
Day after day, we stuck, nor breath nor motion, as idle as a painted ship upon a painted ocean. Water, water everywhere, and all the boards did shrink. Water, water everywhere, nor any drop to drink. The very deep did rot, oh Christ, that ever this should be. These slimy things did crawl with legs upon the slimy sea.
God damn it.